Hey everyone, welcome to the Matt Report. I'm your host, Matt. As always, this is the show where I interview folks in the WordPress community, designers, developers, business folks, bloggers, marketers. If you haven't seen the show yet, where the heck have you been? I'm on iTunes now, so you can subscribe to me there. You can go to mattreport.com, check out the videos, and hit the VIP mailing list, mattreport.com/subscribe. Jump on the mailing list. I will email you when these awesome interviews come out. Today, super excited to have Rafal Tamal of Studio Press, the man behind the scenes, designing you all those awesome themes that we all love. Rafal, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Let people know, give people that two-minute warning, that two-minute elevator pitch of who you are and what you do with WordPress at Studio Press and design.
Yes, so I am the lead designer at CopyBlogger Media, where I design child themes for the Genesis framework. I also design and develop our product site, the Blogger Media websites for Scribe, Premise, Synthesis. A part of my job is also creating websites and working with some famous bloggers like Brian Clark, Dan Rose, Chris Brogan. I'm sure you are familiar with some of those names.
Yep.
And beside my work at CopyBlogger Media, I run my blog where I write about design, my work processes, and basically everything as is somehow related to my work, to what I do. I've also recently launched a website called Typespiration. It's my small personal website, which is some kind of design gallery specifically focused on typography. And this website is open for everyone. For every designer who wants to join and share some design ideas.
Awesome. That's awesome. Let's just get something right out of the way. Mm-hmm. Right off the gate, what's it like having to design a site for a guy named Brian Gardner who just can't stop changing his website? Yet again, I have seen him change his site. He posted it, I think he tweeted it out maybe last night or this morning, changing it again. What is that like for you?
Yeah, Brian changes his design very often. It's like we all see every month. Yeah. I think he's very creative, and that's like every designer's curse to redesign your website, and I totally understand him because I do some kind of things with my own website. Like maybe I'm not changing my website, but I'm redesigning it somewhere behind the scene, and I also do a lot of designs on my own website, so yeah. I totally understand his point of view.
Yeah, a painter's house is never painted, or so they say. I think Brian just might be sitting at Starbucks for too long and just staring at his site for far too long, saying, you know, I need something else.
Yeah, too much coffee.
Okay, so there's a whole long journey of you before you getting into CopyBlogger. What were you doing before CopyBlogger? What were you doing with WordPress? How did you find WordPress at that point?
Yeah, so before I joined CopyBlogger, I worked for a local website company here in Chicago. And I worked for this company about 2.5 years. Then I discovered WordPress. I remember somehow I stumbled upon WordPress when I was looking for a CMS for my own clients. As I've always been freelancing on the side, so I always had some projects on my own. And somehow I stumbled upon WordPress, and it was very interesting. Like, it was free, had a lot of plugins available, and there was a huge community around WordPress. So I thought like maybe a good idea to start using the system for my own projects. And at the same time, using WordPress, and I realized how flexible, how great system it is, I felt like I could build my own business based on WordPress. So I quit my full-time job, and I started my freelance business. And I used WordPress almost for all my projects. I use WordPress for my custom projects. I use WordPress. I started selling some themes on ThemeForest. I even started my own theme shop. It was a very small theme shop with only one theme, but it started doing pretty well. So and that was the time soon after I started my freelance business. Brian Gardner sent me an email, he found me on one of the CSS galleries, and he said that he's looking for a designer to StudioPress, and if I'm interested to join. And that was a pretty interesting offer. Like, I was already on the site for many years, and I just started, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 months doing full-time freelance business. And I thought, like, I'm still on the same level. Like, I'm still having the same kind of clients. I can't go through to a higher level to those clients who can pay me more for my services. So I thought, like, might be a good idea to get some recognition, join StudioPress, and maybe that way I can get some better clients for myself. So I joined StudioPress. I started working with Brian, and then after some work with StudioPress as a freelancer, Brian offered me a job as a lead designer for Copyblogger Media.
Nice. I have this discussion a lot with folks about freelancing and not being able to get to that next level of client. What was that like for you? What would you think was holding you back from just escalating to the next client? Was it just not enough time, not enough resource? You're only one person. What would you think was holding you back from jumping up to the next level?
Yeah, I think for too long I was like hidden. I was all the time behind the scenes somewhere. When I worked for the first company, I was just a designer, and I couldn't show any of those projects in my own portfolio, which was, I think, it hurt a lot my career and my progress, because I quit that job and I was like nobody. I like didn't have any project in my portfolio. I had to build everything, start everything over again, and start having some clients. And even when a client contacted me, I could show some projects I did before, but it wasn't nothing on my website I could show and now get some more leads because of my projects I've done before. So that was a thing, and I think it helped me a lot when I joined StudioPress, when Brian Gardner started tweeting about me, when my work get out there somewhere and more people could see what I do. So then I started getting like a lot of traffic to my website, and I think it helped me a lot. So that's the recognition. And
Do you think that a designer going in to work for, let's say, like an agency that you were at before, StudioPress, you know, depending on what the agreement is, I guess, with working for them, I mean, how did you feel that you couldn't actually showcase that work? How did that impact you? Obviously, it impacted you because people couldn't find you, but what were your feelings with that while you were working for these folks?
Yeah, actually, on the one side, I didn't have any experience when I started working for them. Like, I had some experience as a freelancer because I've been freelancing since I was like 16 years old. So when I was looking for a job, and that was the time when I came to the United States, I moved from Poland, and I didn't know anyone. I didn't have any contacts, so I just took newspaper and started looking for a job. So that was, for me, was like, I was very surprised that somebody wants to hire me. And that's my first job, and I can do what I want to do, what I always wanted to do. So I was very happy that someone trusted me in that time. And I think that was maybe that's some kind of sacrifice you have to do at the beginning of your career. That maybe you have to work for some company, be behind the scene. But you can learn a lot. And I learned a lot in that first company where I worked. I learned how all the projects work, how to contact with clients, and so I think that was a very good experience that helped me a lot later in my career.
Yeah,
but that was just those first two years that I had to go through and have a start.
Nice. Yeah, so that's something that we always talk about too, is there is a little bit of sacrifice that you have to make, whether it be not being able to put some of that work into a portfolio, or taking a little bit less pay in order to get the experience of, like you said, dealing with clients, learning the whole business, just business in general, timelines, communication, stuff like that. So then you start, you were freelancing, then you joined that company. Were you doing any other like WordPress community stuff before StudioPress found or Copyblogger found you? Or was it just through that CSS site that you kind of you were found?
like
WordCamps
before,
or?
Before StudioPress, I created like two or three themes that I posted on ThemeForest, and I started selling some of those themes. And I realized that it's pretty good business selling themes. And that was a moment where like it started growing. So, and then I also started my own theme shop. And I had one theme on my theme shop, but it was like selling themes on my own theme shop. I had some sales, and of course, like the 100% of sales went to me, but it was so much different when I started working for StudioPress, and I had my themes on StudioPress, and even I had a small commission from the sales. It was like much, it was like completely different amount of sales that gave me much more income from this point of view. So
when you started doing the ThemeForest, you know, how did you even think to start joining ThemeForest? What was that like? Any thoughts on what it was like when they were taking 60% and you were getting 40%? What was that like to you as a designer?
In that time, when I started selling my themes on theme shop on ThemeForest, I think ThemeForest just started. It was like a couple months when ThemeForest launched, and I posted one of my themes, and that was one of my first WordPress themes ever. So it wasn't a pretty good theme, and I had to provide a theme. Like there was so many. I don't know what was my bad. There was just so many mistakes, and I was learning WordPress when I was doing that theme. And I removed that theme very fast after I bought it. But I think it was a pretty good way to start, especially to start. So when I started selling my two, three themes on ThemeForest, and then when I started my own theme shop, I had already like a small group of clients who already moved and to my theme shop, already went to my theme shop and start buying my theme from my own theme shop. So I think it's a good way also to start.
Nice. The feedback that you were receiving from ThemeForest purchasers and clients, like you said, you might have taken down the first one. What's it like supporting a theme, you know, balancing it between ThemeForest and maybe your own theme shop? You know, what's that like to you? Are you getting good feedback? Is it constructive feedback, or is it just how do I install this theme kind of questions?
Yeah, I think it was a difference between clients on ThemeForest and clients on my own theme shop. Like you said, on ThemeForest, most of the questions were like how to do something like this, and there was like crazy customizations to the themes. So, and I didn't want to give a complete solutions how to redo my theme and do like e-commerce from a business. So, and every time I was feeling like I'm not providing that kind of support, they were like mad on me, that why you don't want to tell us how to do this and this stuff. But on my own theme shop was, I think it was a little bit different story. Like people were more appreciating that I'm helping them on my forum. They could see that I am over there all the time. Like I'm online on my forum and I'm helping them. So they have more appreciation from
yeah.
People who contact me.
Yeah, I've spoken to people like Pippin Williamson, who does a lot of plugin development. He has his own plugin marketplace. But we talked about what it's like to support people on ThemeForest, and you do get some of that, like, how do I install WordPress? I bought this plugin. How do I install WordPress? You know, foolish questions that people should already have the answer to. But then I also interviewed Andrea Rennick, who does the support for your company and the support forums, where you guys take a different side of support, where you'll coach them to a certain level, and if they start really asking those real basic questions of, you know, maybe WordPress, how to do something in WordPress, that, you know, people like Andrea from your team will recommend them to another freelancer to get them off the ground. So it's interesting to see that balance where a designer can go into ThemeForest and get a lot of audience and sell stuff, but it comes with that that comes with that same audience might not just be at the level of understanding with WordPress and themes.
Yeah, and I think audience also has changed in the past few years. Like I think 2-3 years ago, not too many people were familiar with WordPress. So there were some questions like how to install WordPress or how to install theme. And I think now people are more familiar with WordPress, they are more educated what it is. And most of people already have some experience with the system. So I think the kind of questions also have changed through the time.
Yeah. Are you noticing a change in the same, or first question is, do you jump into the support forums at CopyBlogger and help folks with your themes? And if so, are you seeing those types of questions changing too? Are people getting more mature with their questions on the Studio Press side?
At CopyBlogger Media, I am not in the support at all.
Okay.
So I'm not even trying to. Of course, if someone, I'm trying to help or on Twitter. So I'm trying to be there and answer some questions. But I'm trying to leave the support to our support team. I think they do a much better job in supporting than me. So I want to focus on design and what I do best.
Give us an insight of what that might be like. A question that, you know, let's say you launch a new theme and somebody asks a question on the forum, I don't know, maybe about how to adjust the logo as an example. And there's some CSS that has to be changed. What happens if the support person can't figure it out? Or is the support person going to know this stuff really well? Will they never come back to you and say, you know, Rafal, how did you code that? How did you do the front end development with that?
Yes, it happens sometimes. I don't remember if Andrea, but some other people from our support team, they send me an email and tell me like, some clients have problem with this part of the theme, or they are asking how to change something in CSS, and if you can quickly provide us a solution, that would be awesome. So they can save some time. Of course, it would take me like, you know, a minute or two, and they would have to spend an hour maybe trying to figure out how it works.
Yeah.
So I understand this, and it's sometimes it happens. Like they send me an email and ask me, but I think they do a pretty good job. So the most of the times, I think Andrea and the rest of the team are very fast and flexible in helping people.
Nice, very nice. Where do you draw from? Where do you draw your inspiration from? A lot of your designs are, you know, I really like them. Very forward. They're very bold, very modern. You know, where are you getting your inspiration from?
There are many different sources. Like on the web, I think Dribbble is like my number one source of inspiration. Maybe because I can just type in a small, like I'm looking for inspiration for a search box, for example. So I can type in a search box in Dribbble, and then I have like a full list of different designs of search box. And I think it helps a lot to focus only on one of these elements, so I don't see the full design of the website, but I'm just inspired by this small thing. And besides Dribbble, I often go through all the CSS galleries and see what's there. And I think also I'm trying to get some inspiration outside the web. So I have one of these, I sketch a lot. Books with me all the time. So whenever I go, sometimes I'm in a coffee shop or in a store, and I look and I see something interesting, especially in coffee shops. I really like designs and typography in coffee shops. Like there are some interesting stuff over there. So if I see something, have a quick snapshot of this, and I draw a quick sketch in my sketchbook. So whenever later I work on any project, I can look to my sketchbook and see what ideas I saved from some of my experiences outside the web. And I think it's a good way to look for inspiration, not only on the web, not only on the CSS galleries, but to go out there and see what else people create in real life.
Yeah.
So you can have some, or bring something new to your designs. I think it's a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. That it's a great story about carrying around their sketchbook and just going right, you know, right when you feel inspired to kind of just sketch something out. Are there any other web designers on the web that you're looking up to that you follow for inspiration?
Yes, there are a few of them. Recently, I was very impressed by work of Focus Lab. I don't know if you're familiar with this agency. There's a guy called Bill Kenny, who is, I think he's like art director of Focus Lab, and they do a really good job. I've been following them on Dribbble for a long time, and I send their projects to Brian, and we are both very impressed what they do. So we're spending like hours browsing their projects and trying to get some inspiration from them. So and also there. I don't have on top of it, but yeah, there will be a few other designers, especially those big names, like designers from Alice Apart, and what they do, I think is very interesting, and I'm trying to follow all the new trends in typography and style. So,
what's it like when you and Brian get together to create a new theme? Is it you start laughing because I can only imagine what it's like. Is it based off just inspiration and creativity where you guys are thinking, here's what we should design, or is it data driven where you say our customers and our clients are asking us for this?
Yeah, so like I said about the Dicker theme, that was one of the themes that was not by any data. We just had an idea and created a theme. But any other themes, I think it's more like Brian telling me like, oh, we need another business theme because that's the area where we don't have too many themes. So let's start something like a business theme, or there's a theme for bloggers or writers. So I think it's more like whatever themes we need, and it's probably more data driven.
Has there ever been a theme that you guys created, spent a lot of time on, and then said, you know what, we're not going to put this into the marketplace?
I think there are many themes like this. Okay. I have three folders in my themes for main folder, and one of them are like all the themes released have been published and are made. Second folder is like themes I'm working on are in progress, and the third folder are all the themes that are like in the archive and they were never released. And the third folder, I think, is the biggest one. Like there were so many ideas and concepts that we started working on, but in the meantime, like we had another idea, or we just felt like this night might be good for our audience, so we changed our directions. But anyway, I'm trying to save all the previous designs somewhere, so just in case if we need anything, I can have it on my hard drive, and maybe there'll be a time for this.
How many themes get released a year? Probably like 12, or not even
during 1 year.
Yeah, during 1 year.
I'm not sure, but I would say so. Something like 12, yeah, like so one at least a month.
So if that's one a month, does that mean that there's like four or five that are just getting archived?
Not really. I think we are now pretty good in releasing themes than before. We now have, I think, a bit better idea what we want to do, and we keep our concept to the end.
Nice. So brainstorming and working out a concept with Brian, a lot of that stuff, like you said, you start your own creativity in a sketchbook. Do you guys physically meet up and draw on a whiteboard? Are you just exchanging wireframes via the web? What's that creative process like?
Most of our contact is just online, but because we are both in Chicago area, so we sometimes meet at Starbucks and.
Of course.
Yeah. So, but it's not like we don't have any whiteboards and there's some crazy stuff. We just sit next to each other and talk about the project, or it's more about ideas and trying to figure out what would be the best concept for the entire project. And then I go back home and go to my workstation, and that's the place where I feel very confident to do design.
Yep.
I I can go to coffee shop or any other place and do some brainstorming or I have some ideas, but it's very hard for me to focus and design something in coffee shop.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of noise, a lot of distraction. And I feel the same way. This brings me to a good question. A lot of freelancers, let's say they're just graduating. You know, I always say they're just graduating college and going out into that freelance world. A lot of them think that it's going to be so easy. You know, I work from home. I have no boss. You know, I can work on an island. It doesn't matter. I have my laptop with me. But there are some real challenges, like working at a coffee shop. It's not easy day in and day out because there is a lot of distraction. Any advice to that freelancer who might think, yeah, working from home is easy? What are some of the challenges that you face?
It's funny that you mentioned this because that's exactly what I thought when I started my freelance business. I thought like, and I read a lot books and articles about freelancing, so I was well prepared before I started my freelance business. And I thought like, when I will be a freelancer, I will raise my rates every week and I will be going to coffee shops, spending some time and hanging out with other designers from the community. But it didn't look like that at all. Like, I had very hard time to raise my rates for a very long time until I start working for Studio Press. So, and also I spent like all my day in my home office, and even I ate all my lunches in front of the computer. And so I spent a lot of time, like, I don't know, maybe 15 hours a day trying to catch up all the projects and do some work. So it's not like, it's not that easy being a freelancer for sure. And like right now I work from home too for Copy Blogger Media. But it's a little bit different story than being a freelancer because I am like more organized by someone else who we have some projects, we have some deadlines, and I want to be responsible for and catch up with the deadlines for all the projects, so not someone else from my team has to wait for me. So it's a bit different.
Are you working on? I'm actually going to interview Brian Clark tomorrow to talk a little bit more about the business that is CopyBlogger. But are you responsible for Studio Press stuff and product stuff on CopyBlogger? Are you balancing or juggling deadlines for both, you know, businesses, if you will?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think my work is split at like 50%. I spend my time on Studio Press stuff, and the other 50% are like everything else I do for CopyBlogger Media. And like I mentioned before, I design and develop all of our company websites, like our product sites. For example, I design a website for Scribe, and it was a pretty big project because it's not only the front-end website, but there is the entire customer portal behind the Scribe. So I had to design like a front-end website, all the pages, sub-pages, and also the member area, the login page, checkout pages. So now all these projects are a lot of work.
Yeah,
it's not even, you can even see is on the front end.
Yeah, I have this this vision of just, you know, knowing Brian from Twitter and some stuff with Chris Brogan, you know, listening to the podcast that he was doing at one point, and I can just imagine him walking into the room. I can imagine, here's what I imagine in your world, and I feel bad for you. No, I'm just kidding. I have this vision of you sitting there with Brian in Starbucks, you know, kind of brainstorming these themes, and then Brian Clark comes along and says, "Hey, here's this whole back end you have to do for Scribe. Let me know when it's finished. I'll check in with you in about, you know, 30 days, and we'll see where we're at." What's it like, you know, pulling your mind from designing themes to user interface for like an application? Is there any kind of struggles with that? Do you have any advice for people who are kind of balancing web applications, themes, front end design, that kind of thing?
I had some experience with web application design before, so it's like designing web application was nothing new for me. But yeah, it takes some something. I don't like to be distracted if I'm working on any current project. I like to finish this project to the last step and then start another project. But of course, it often happens like we have something new to do for Scribe or like a member area or something. So I have to immediately stop working on whatever I'm working on right now and have to switch to other products. So this sometimes I think it's hard to switch to other, especially it's not only like a web application design, but to switch to other project.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's a challenge.
Yep.
But I don't think I have any advice how to exactly.
And I bring that up not only for somebody who's working at a unique business like Copyblogger, but maybe just at a WordPress agency in general, where there's just multiple clients. You know, I don't know, one's a real estate company and another one is a computer company. So two totally different, you know, genres and concepts. And to just pull your mind from, okay, right now I'm working on what it's like to design a real estate site to this, you know, computer company that sells microprocessors. I don't know what it might be, but just that pulling of the two different concepts.
Yeah, and I think my freelance experience helps me a lot right now, because when I worked on my first job, we did like most of our project were medical websites. So like all the time for the 2 years, I was doing only medical websites, and then when I started freelancing, I had many different kind of client. So I had to do like a business website for lawyer. Then I had to switch and do some blog. So this my freelance experience, I think, helps me now to switch between different kind of projects.
Do you think a designer should focus in on one particular flavor of website? So you think that's good advice for the freelancer to just focus in one market?
I think yes. I think it's a good way. It can save you a lot of time. If you are specialized in one, I know there are some freelancers, designers who like specialize only in doing websites for lawyers. And I know they save a lot of time. They have portfolio full of lawyers' websites, so probably it's easier for them to get some clients in this field. So if I had to start my business over again, I think I would choose one specialization and like blogs for famous bloggers or writers. And maybe I'll follow that path.
Very nice. Let's just talk about WordPress in general. How do you get involved with WordPress community? Do you go to WordCamps? Do you post on forums? Do you do any kind of core contributions? Anything like that?
right now, I think sometimes I go to WordCamps. Especially, I am always in our Chicago WordCamp every year. And I was in Milwaukee WordCamp. But I don't travel, especially for any other WordCamps, but I think WordCamps is a very good way to meet people. It's not only for learning from the presentations, but you can meet a lot of people, and I think that's a very good thing about WordCamps. What else I do for the community? I'm not that hardcore programmer, so I'm not trying to get involved into the WordPress core or change code or something. I know enough PHP to do some simple plugins or widgets for my own projects, but I'm not trying to involve more into programming. So I'm trying to help with my blog. So I'm trying to post on my blog some posts I recently posted about how I created Typespiration website. So I wanted to show the entire process, how and maybe show some solutions for common problems like I faced when I was creating Typespiration. So I think it might be helpful for the community.
Yeah, absolutely. I am on that mailing list, so everyone should join. It's very very informative and very inspirational. Are you headed to South by Southwest with the team?
Yes, we go with Copyblogger Media every year.
Nice.
We have our company website. I don't know, are you going there?
Yes. Oh, no, I'm not going there. No, not this year.
All right, if you ever go there, make sure to step by and to our company party, and yeah, so we can meet.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully we wake up without a headache the next day. Well, awesome. I mean, I think this has been some great insight into, oh man, so many things, you know, going from freelance to working at a unique company like Copyblogger, where you find your inspiration, how you design and develop themes, supporting themes, Lots of good information here for that freelance designer or somebody who's looking to get into designing themes. Let's jump into the last two segments. First segment is, what's in your toolbox? What type of software besides WordPress or hardware do you need every day to get through your daily tasks, like an Evernote, Gmail, iPad, Photoshop? What is it that you use day to day?
I use basically like a full package of Adobe. So I use Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, and I start learning Fireworks. So in the future, I want to switch to Fireworks from Photoshop. But I use like this almost all applications that Adobe created. And I have also my Evernote. Everywhere I go, I have Evernote on my iPhone, on my iPad, and on my computer. So, and I keep in Evernote almost all notes and also some ideas for designs or something. So Evernote is very super useful app.
Nice.
What do I have? I have Pocket app that I installed recently, and it's a great app, especially that I saw so many articles on the web or the Twitter, and I didn't have time to read it. So I use Pocket app to put it in the pocket and read it later. Like before I sleep, I can read some articles. So I think it's a very useful app too.
Very nice. iPhone, you're an iPhone user or an Android user?
iPhone.
Nice. And you carry around, how many sketchbooks do you go through every year? Do you just have a whole bunch of small ones? Do you have the big drafting ones? What do you use?
I know I have one of, this is a dot grid action method. So, and I have this journal like for the, I think last 12 months. So I do a lot of sketches, but I think I use pages. So I fill out all the pages with the sketches, and I trying to have all of this. I think a lot happens on one page.
Nice.
But before this journal, I think I wrote like a couple books.
Nice. That's awesome. Let's jump into the lightning round. I'll ask you a series of quick questions. You'll have a series of quick answers. What is the one plugin you cannot live without?
I think Gravity Forms.
Mm-hmm. That was the answer to my last guest. A favorite WordPress or business book or design book?
Design book, that would be The Elements of Typographic Style. That's the book. It helped me a lot.
Oh, nice.
In everything that's related to typography, it's a very good book. And I think it's a free version online available, specifically focused on web typography.
Awesome. A quote that you live or run your business by?
Someone told me to never burn your bridges behind you. And that was very good advice. I'm trying to follow.
Very good. The best business or career advice you've ever received, if maybe that might be the same answer.
Yeah, so probably that would be that answer. And maybe other answer would be to work on your personal brand, on your name. So that's what I'm actually doing right now, because like your name is with you all the time, even no matter if you're a single freelancer or you're working for a company. You have to work on your name or your personal brand.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I do a lot of coaching for students that are still in college at a local community college, and I tell them all the time that start branding yourself now as basic as whatever you have, even if you haven't even designed a site yet or developed a site. Just get your name out there, get a website registered, get on LinkedIn, and just get ready to start building up that portfolio. It's super important.
Yes, that was my, like, I was for a long time just entry level as a freelancer, and I couldn't get through to those better clients. And as soon as I started working on my personal brand, as I started having some more recognition as a designer, as me, then I start having more clients for myself. So.
Nice. If you had to, the longest a client project has ever taken, or web design with Brian Gardner?
Over a year.
Okay, nice. Was that a client or was that a theme?
That was a client. That was my freelance client.
Nice. If you had to switch to another CMS, what would it be?
I was very impressed with the Squarespace. I never use it, but I really like the design of the website.
Very nice.
So I think it might be a good software.
That's the first Squarespace answer I've got. who should I interview next?
I think you could interview Nathan Rice from our team. He's a guy behind Genesis Framework. He is our lead developer. So I think he might have some good ideas about Genesis Framework and team development.
Very cool. What's the one question I didn't ask you that I should have?
There was one thing I wanted to mention, and I never mentioned about this before, so it's some kind of breaking news. But
nice.
I started working on my ebook. It's going to be ebook about how to design websites, where I want to cover the entire designing process from the brainstorming, ideas, sketches, going through creating your workspace in Photoshop, wireframing, then creating a visual design of the project, and finally delivering the final project to the client. And I want to cover, like, take one project and show the entire process from the beginning to the end. And this is kind of the book that I was looking for when I started my my career, and I never could find it, because like, there are so many books about designing, about developing, but I think nobody ever, like, shared the process, how it looks from this perspective.
Yeah, I can't think of one. Are you going to specifically talk about design in WordPress, or it could be general purpose, any kind of website design?
This is going to be just in Photoshop, no code, no CSS, just the entire designing process before coding.
That's awesome. Sounds awesome. Can't wait for it. I'm glad that you broke some breaking news. I always love that on the show because I get to pump it out there, and it's always good. So look, I mean, if people haven't been inspired to go and design sites by the end of this, they obviously weren't listening hard enough. Rafal, I can't thank you enough for doing this interview. I want folks to know, if they want to get more interviews like this, mattreport.com/subscribe, and I'll email you when these awesome interviews come out. Rafal, where can folks find you on the web so they can go say thank you for this?
You can find me on Twitter. It's at Rafal Tomal. Or you can go to my website, rafaltomal.com.
Awesome. And when can we expect the ebook to be out?
My goal is to finish it by the end of the year. But I got so many projects and I'm so busy that it might be very hard to do this. But.
All right. Well, when I get Brian on the phone tomorrow, I'll see if I can persuade him to give you a little time off to finish this. Awesome. It's been a great interview. Thanks a lot. Thanks for doing this. We'll see you next
time. Thank you. My pleasure. Bye.